again to those who are online and those in the venue. It's a great pleasure to be with you. The conference is devoted to the connection between university and human rights in light of the genocide in the Gaza Strip. I would like to start by giving a wider context to this issue, because there's something very interesting but also very disturbing about the events in the Gaza Strip in the last 16 months. On the one hand, it's an awful and terrible human catastrophe, what we have seen unfolding in the Gaza Strip. A huge number of people being killed, wounded, losing their homes, losing their hospitals, universities, schools, and losing any hope for even repenting life under the massive genocidal attack on them that began on the 7th of October 2023. On the other hand, that awful human catastrophe has exposed certain issues of global importance that were forgotten or not dealt with for quite a long time. One of them is academic freedom, and I will come back to it in a moment because this is the main topic of the seminar today. But I will begin by actually pointing out to another example of how globally relevant are the events in the Gaza Strip to the world at large. And that example comes from the realm or the field of international law. For many years, in the global south, there was a suspicion that the international legal system that was built after the Second World War was not really universal and was actually manipulated in a way that would always be used against the global south or people that the global north don't like in their own territory, but very rarely would it be employed against crimes committed by leading members of the global north and its allies. And if there was a moment where the international legal system could have shined, could have shown that these suspicions are not valid, are not correct, was the case of Gaza, when it was possible to bring Israel to justice, given its stark violation of international law and the laws of war. And unfortunately, the international system has dismally failed in this mission, and the suspicion in the global south about the universality of the international legal system became valid, and therefore people were as suspicious, if not even more, as they were beforehand, that what we call international law is based on an idea of universalism that was defined by the West immediately after the Second World War without any consultation with the colonized world in a way that served the global West but did not attend to the problems and concerns of the global south. So that's an exposure of the dramatic failure in the international system that is really so important, because without a proper international system of law, we will not be able, as a global society, to face challenges that can only be dealt with international collaboration, such as global warming, poverty, or immigration, to mention just three of a rather long agenda that faces the world as a whole. In a similar way, the topic that we are discussing today is also an issue that was overlooked by many for a very long time, and has come to the fore, unfortunately and tragically, because of the events in the Gaza Strip. Universities usually are a complex institution, because they are actually two versions of what a university is. The university can be a business, a corporation, that has a management. And when we are asking what is the position of a university towards the issue of human rights, we may be mistaken by thinking that all we are talking about is what is the attitude of the university management that deals with the university as a business towards the idea of human rights. But there's another version of the university, and that is the university is a community of scholars. And what has been clear before the crisis in Gaza, and even more so after the crisis erupted, was that the university as a community of scholars has a very different perception of its role towards the genocide in Gaza, and in general, in its position towards issues of human rights and civil rights that were affected by the government's, respective government's attitudes towards the situation in Gaza. So there was a clear gap between the universities acting under the guidance of the management vis-a-vis the policies of governments towards the genocide in Gaza, and the position of the university as a community of scholars towards both the genocide in Gaza and the abuse of basic civil rights and human rights of the universities themselves as a result of the criticism directed by individuals in the community of scholars towards the government of the day and its policies towards Palestine. Not even criticism sometimes, by not adopting the government's position, it seemed that people were risking their position in the university when they talked freely and honestly about Palestine. So this is beyond Gaza, I think, the crisis that we are facing as academics who are members of institutions such as the university. And of course, I'm generalizing here. I'm sure there are different cases around the global north with regard to these issues. But I think I'm providing a fair general picture of the situation. So on the one hand, we have a community of scholars very much energized by the community of students that from the very beginning of the 7th of October, many of them even before the 7th of October, believed that they have a moral duty to stand alongside the Palestinians, to pressure their own universities to rethink its connections against the continued genocide of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. In more concrete terms, many of these people, whether they were faculty members or students, demanded that the universities would divest, if they are invested in Israeli universities, and from the governments to impose sanctions, including armed sanctions, on Israel as long as the genocidal operations in the Gaza Strip continue. What was even more incredible in a way was that not only did the management of most universities reject these demands by the university community of scholars and students, and most management adopted the government's policy in various ways to show that they are not going to cave into the demands of students and scholars by, for instance, adopting the International Holocaust the Holocaust Remembers Alliance, the IHRA definition of Holocaust denial as including criticism of Israel and other, it depends on which country we're talking, but basically legislation that criminalized calls for boycotting or sanctioning Israel. Not only did they do that, which by itself is a violation of the duty of universities to adhere to freedom of expression in their own communities, they also, in some cases, and in some countries it was more obvious than in others, also decided to accept a demand of Israel that was made very early on the 7th of October, that universities as academics would not provide a context for the events of the 7th of October, both a context that would explain what lay behind the action of the Hamas, and both a context that would explain the brutality of the Israeli reaction and its genocidal policies. If you would remember, on the 7th of October, the General Secretary of the United Nations, Guterres, although condemning the actions of the Hamas on the 7th of October, immediately added that we should understand that these actions were not done in a vacuum. What he meant that there was an historical context, I would say even a moral context, for the attack. And immediately Israel demanded that he would be fired. And later on, especially in France, in Germany, and other German-speaking countries, and in some other parts of the global north, universities sent directives to academics not to mention the context when discussing the events of the 7th of October, and some went as far as saying that if you mention, as academics should do, an historical context, a moral context of the events, you are actually are in danger of being framed as an anti-Semite or a Holocaust denier. This is an incredible attack on the integrity of especially those among us who are experts on the topic. I will clarify what I mean by that. For instance, in Britain, where I teach, we have in some universities people who are world experts on the Palestinian National Movement, people who are world experts on the history of anti-Semitism, the history of racism, the history of colonialism and anti-colonialism. These experts are being told by their own management that expressing their views, which is based on their expertise, is a political opinion which can be defined by the government as supporting terrorism or supporting anti-Semitism or Holocaust denial. Now, this is the reality, namely, that in many places, the events of the 7th of October, very much like after the 9/11 attack on the United States in 2001, these events are a pretext for the less democratic, for the non-democratic elements in our political systems, in our university system. They are using it to curb our liberties, our freedoms of expression, under the excuse that they are actually defending the society from terrorism, anti-Semitism, and so on. Of course, anti-Semitism and support for terrorism have nothing to do with this policy of silencing us. This is actually a management, academic management, surrendering to political regimes that are part of a global alliance with Israel, and therefore are using this as a pretext to silence any criticism of Israel and Zionism by weaponizing anti-Semitism and anti-terrorism. And as I say, this is not just because they want to please Israel. This is also because, in general, they are not happy with the amount of freedom that academics, whether they are students or faculty members, have. Now, this is the situation, and there's no other way of looking at it. The big question is, are universities, as communities of scholars, are able to defend their right to express their views, either as scholars or as citizens? It doesn't matter. You can express your view because this is your expertise, or you express your view because you are not different from any other member of the society, or because we are afraid of our career, of our position. We cave in. We don't show moral courage. And unfortunately, in many cases, academic courage is an oxymoron. People are much more worried, sometimes understandably, about their career, about their tenure, about their position. Students are worried about their visa, if they are if they are foreigners in the, as many are in our academic institutions, including in Catalonia and in Spain, or these are lecturers who are worried about their promotion. Whatever the reason is, there is definitely a price to be paid for standing for Palestine and for insisting that both as academics and as citizens, it's our moral duty to speak freely and candidly about what's happening in Palestine. We have the right to call the actions of Israel genocide. We have the right to define Israel as an apartheid state. We have the right to support the Palestinian struggle. And we have the right to call for a free Palestine from the river to the sea. This is both an academic and a moral position. But we can't do it alone. In some universities, if we do it alone, we will immediately be victimized. So we'll have to find a way of an international networking that would strengthen our ability to defend our human rights principles, academics fighting for the human rights of other people. But it really brings to the fore the whole question that we neglected for many, many years in the academia. What is really our role? What is the meaning of the university? Academics are very good at examining other people's ambitions, interests, conditions, and analyzing them, but very rarely they analyze themselves. And maybe that's a wake-up call that we received from the situation that developed in the wake of the crisis in Gaza, that is a good thing, that we will have to rethink what is a university. Is it a business corporation? Is it a bank? Or is it a center where we encourage learning, criticism, developing moral values and moral courage? Because originally that's what the society wanted us to do, but it seems that most political establishments nowadays are not very keen of allowing us to have. And this is, of course, not the most important issue of the day. The most important issue of the day is to stop the genocide in Gaza. It's a much more long-term problem, but I do think it's worthwhile thinking about it, and I'm glad that we have events like events this morning, because today it's Gaza, tomorrow it will be another issue, and it is exactly because we live in societies and states that claim to be democratic that we should be aware of how that kind of democracy is very limited, and how much a fight for making it a more reliable democracy is a fight for freedom for the Palestinians. And any achievement we will have in insisting on our right to express ourselves freely and research freely, whether it's on Palestine or any other issue, is a winning moment for the Palestinians. And any failure to do so, unfortunately, would continue to provide immunity for Israel to continue its policies on the ground. So it's much more, and with this I will end, this is much more than just allowing encampments for Palestine to take part in the campus. This is much more than allowing demonstrations for Palestine to take place in Girona or anywhere else. This is about how we teach and research Palestine in our universities. In most places in the global north, we still teach it as part of political science, social sciences, as part of conflict management, or part of Israel and Jewish studies. We have to relocate, we have to transfer the research of Palestine, the study of Palestine, to the study of colonialism and anti-colonialism, of racism, of ethnic cleansing, and genocide, so that we will fulfill faithfully our role as teachers and educators as much as our role as researchers and members of the scholarly community. This is a very important struggle that will not be able to complete in a year or two. But if we are, so many of us are talking about decolonizing knowledge, that's exactly a practical, a clear and accessible example of what decolonizing knowledge means. And if we are happy, we have to pay a price in doing it. It's the price worth paying, because this is not just about Gaza and the Palestinians, but this is about our role and future as academics. Thank you very much.
To have you with us. And I just need to arrive in 5 minutes on my views. Very excellent. And then we will have like 10 minutes if there are some questions. Just a second, can you mute? Okay, thank you. Ahora sí.
Vale. Haremos. Bueno, molt ràpidament, perquè després les coses que estem més a seguir, primer ha marcat un context, no?, sobre la borda de la capacitat humana que s'està produint, i sobretot ha volgut també remarcar la importància global del que està passant, no? És a dir, sinó sobre temes de global importància que han estat oblidats durant molts anys. I ha volgut marcar, sobretot, la reflexió respecte de l'àmbit acadèmic, no? Si no són una jornada sobre la universitat, sobre la Universitat de Drets Humans, no? Les implicacions. El primer que he dit és que aquí el que està emergint amb molta claretat és el debat de molts països, de moltes persones i comunitats del sud global que durant molts anys han sospitat que el llenguatge i el projecte dels drets humans no era un projecte universal, sinó que era un projecte manipulat per fer-se utilitzar sempre com contra el sub-global i que molt estranyament seria aplicat quan els responsables fossin part del nord global i dels seus aliats. Aquesta sospita s'estaria comprovant en claredat i això suposa una falla dramàtica del sistema internacional legal. I aquesta situació el que ens provoca, més enllà de la situació de Gaza, és veure que no estarem preparats pels reptes globals que tenim com a societat. El climàtic, la pobresa i la migració no els podrem abordar si no és recuperar una estructura creïble per tot el planeta, això, aquest marc ètic compartit. Després s'ha de referir ja directament a l'àmbit universitari, jo que les universitats avui en dia són realitats molt complexes, per una banda són negocis i per tant tenen una lògica mercantil i qui prenen les decisions, no? I com en part els equips directius de les universitats agafen aquest rol en tant que negoci. L'altra dimensió és la dimensió de la comunitat acadèmica, de la comunitat de professors, professors, de l'ensenyament, del seu conjunt, i aquí és on està l'element que he volgut també aparèixer en claredat, que és de quina manera les universitats avui s'estan, en molts casos, en espais de persecució dels propis drets civils, de la expressió, de la llibertat acadèmica, de la llibertat de càtedra dels seus membres, quan es posicionen davant del conflicte del temps civil. I diu que en alguns casos aquesta comunitat acadèmica ha pogut ser energitzada per la comunitat d'estudiants, per pressionar les universitats per replantejar-se les relacions amb Israel com a resposta del genocidi, però que la major part de les universitats han rebutjat les reclamacions de la comunitat acadèmica estudiantil i que expressament des del 7 d'octubre, des del 7 d'octubre, va Israel expressament, i moltes universitats van assumir, el que les universitats no generés un context de justificació del terrorisme, esmentant el context en el que el terrorisme del 7 d'octubre es va expressar. No? El propi Antoni Guterres, el secretari de les Nacions Unides, ho va dir de seguida, condemnant l'atemptat, però assenyalant el context històric on sorgia aquest atemptat. I Guillem Papé ha considerat també la necessitat d'assenyalar el context històric i el context moral en què es produeix això. Finalment, i ja acabo, perquè si no, moltes coses, ha volgut assenyalar de quina manera això, no? A les universitats, les persones expertes en l'àmbit històric, de comprensió del que és el colonialisme, el racisme i els corrents per fer-hi front, van ser advertits expressament per les universitats, pels seus equips directius, que expressar-se sobre aquests contextos, explicar-los, pot suposar una, es considera una opinió política de recolzament al terrorisme, l'antisemitisme o el negacionisme de l'Holocaust. Així com els situació, el moment dels atemptats terroristes de l'11 de setembre del 2001 i aquests del 7 d'octubre del 2023, ell considera que han estat fet servir per als elements més antidemocràtics del nostre sistema, el sistema democràtic occidental, liberal occidental, però també a l'interior de les pròpies institucions que vivim, de la pròpia universitat. Aquests sectors més antidemocràtics han aprofitat aquestes situacions per reduir les llibertats i l'espai de la llibertat acadèmica dins de la nostra universitat, i que cal una valentia moral per fer-hi front. També s'ha assenyalat que actualment la valentia acadèmica és un oxímeron, la tendència global de la major part dels investigadors i professors és ocupar-se la seva pròpia carrera i èxit acadèmic i rebutjar qualsevol espai que tingui a veure amb la nostra universitat i amb la nostra universitat. Per això és necessari una xarxa internacional de lluita acadèmica o universitària contra la violació de drets humans per fer-nos acostat i per fer la solidaritat també en situacions que poden ser difícils. Finalment es pregunta quin és el rol de la universitat, quin és el rol de l'acadèmia, perquè normalment som molt experts, molt expertes en pensar quin és el rol d'altres, no? Reflexionar, investigar sobre què han de fer els altres subjectes, però poc sovint, si no mai, ens preguntem sobre quin és el rol que hem de tenir nosaltres. I que el més rellevant segurament ara és aturar el genocidi de Gaza, sens dubte, però que és veritat que tot l'esforç que podem fer des dels nostres àmbits, com estudiants, com acadèmics, té a veure amb lluitar per una universitat lliure, per una on es pugui exercir la llibertat d'expressió i la llibertat acadèmica, i això també serà una victòria pel poble palestí, perquè en el rerefons de la manca de resposta del genocidi té a veure això. Per fer molt ràpida, caldria veure quants professors i professores estem avui aquí, quants responsables de l'equip de govern de la universitat estem avui aquí, per veure si allò que diu l'Ili en paper ens encaixa o no amb la nostra realitat. Bé, tenim 10 minuts per fer algunes preguntes. Si volem, i llavors passarem ja a la taula de la taula. Qui s'anima?
Bona tarda, o bon dia, vaja. L'últim setge que hi ha hagut ha sigut el de Sarajevo. Llavors, a Catalunya hi havia molta unanimitat, gent que va acollir gent d'allà, encara hi ha relacions entre catalans i gent de Sarajevo. Es va lograr portar els serbis al Tribunal Internacional i hi havia inclús l'Ajuntament de Barcelona va ajudar a enviar coses, hi havia gent, un apoio popular sobre Bòsnia, que crec que actualment per Palestina hi ha menys apoio, per la qual vull agrair que la universitat faci aquesta acció a favor de Palestina, però crec que hi ha poc apoio popular sobre la causa palestina.
Finland just was a some ideas about the situation that when the winner of the room says that maybe the problem now is that in comparison with other like how the Catalan society react to the siege of Sarajevo and how were built the relations with Bosnian people and Bosnian refugees here, and nowadays there are still relations with them, and it was caused by a like social and popular reaction that nowadays we don't have the same in the case of Palestine. And then it's really important to see how the university react, but also to relate the reaction with the social and popular one. If you want to add something on that. Now you are mute, I think. If there is one more question, and I think...
Voleu primer en català i després en anglès, vull dir?
Sí.
Bueno, ja sabeu que a l'UDG hi ha el projecte aquest de Falcó, que té dues institucions, una que ja ho ha dit, una que està a territoris ocupats i l'altra que és la fundadora d'una de les universitats més grosses a territoris ocupats. Per tant, les dues estan estretament lligades a l'ocupació. Llavors aquí al DG la resposta que tenim sempre és que com que la Unió Europea ho valida, tot està bé, però per l'altra banda la Unió Europea és una clara còmplice de totes les violacions que s'està cometent i jo vull saber la seva opinió i li preguntaré.
Hello, Ilan, thank you for being here. We have at the university this project Falco, which has two partners. One is Herzog College with a campus in near Bethlehem, and the other one is Bar-Ilan with this relation with Ariel University. And when we spoke to our government at the UDG, always they answered that European Union is accepting this, so we will be under the, this umbrella. We all of we know that European Union is so complicit with all what is happening, so I would like to know your opinion about this situation. Thank you.
Thank you.
thank you very much for your answer. And molt ràpidament, la resposta d'ahir a la pregunta de la Sílvia és que davant d'un projecte de recerca com el que es planteja, la intervenció de dos partners, institucions acadèmiques israelianes directament implicades en l'ocupació, no respondre, com està passant en el nostre cas, suposa una part de la complicitat del genocidi, que la història determinarà qui estava del costat correcte i qui no, en la defensa dels valors ètics mínims, que si la universitat, si l'equip de govern de la universitat decideix no fer-ho, doncs això passarà sobre ells, sobre elles, i que nosaltres, com individualment i col·lectivament, els que no estiguem d'acord amb això, amb el salveu, ens hem d'organitzar per there is just one last intervention just to wait for.
Sí, no és tant una pregunta com un agraïment, perquè el seu treball i el seu posicionament ètic, moral i acadèmic és tant un faro com un aliento per tots aquells grups en la Universitat Catalana i en les universitats de l'Estat espanyol que continuem parlant, abordant i fent en contra del genocidi. Així que gràcies per la seva fortalesa i per tots els seus escrits i sobretot per el seu posicionament públic.
Yes. It was just to thank you, like, from the bottom of our souls, your work, your academic work, and also to see you as a lighthouse of what we have to do as academics in our position as academics in our university. So we are really grateful for you, not only because you are here today, also, but for all your engagement and your work as academic in this human rights fight and in Palestine case especially. So thank you very much, Tina, and this is for you.
There is one question in the chat.
repercussió immediata és negativa, és que és terrible. El govern de Netanyahu, com a mínim, sembla que estarà encara per dos anys. I el context també el propi govern de l'Amèrica no ajuda, tot i que ell pensa que algun tipus de limitació es podria donar. En tot cas, considera que això seria l'última fase d'un capítol llarg de dècades de situació terrible, i que després d'aquest capítol, amb aquesta fi tan terrorífica, es podria obrir, i té esperança que hi sigui una nova fase, un nou capítol per la situació del territori entre el riu Jordà i el Mediterrani, i que això dependrà de la aquella aposta, i té més esperança que després del que estem vivint ara s'obrirà un capítol que ens permetrà transitar cap a una realitat més esperançada. Ok, so thank you very much. Yeah, Elena. See you soon, and thank you. Okay.